We will read God's word tonight from Psalm 68. And the text that we consider is verses 18 and 19, especially verse 18, but also verse 19 of Psalm 68. And we'll read the first 19 verses. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A fatherless of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salma. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in, yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Thus far we read the Word of God tonight. I call your attention to verses 18 and 19 as they speak in a prophetic way of the ascension of Jesus Christ. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we have here in Psalm 68 is a glorious celebration of a great event. And in the course of the sermon, we're going to see that what the people in the Old Testament were celebrating was a picture that they saw of the ascension of Jesus Christ. And so what Psalm 68 speaks of is a great celebration of the ascension of Jesus Christ in to heaven. What has happened is that all of the tribes of Israel have gathered together into the holy city of Jerusalem. All of the tribes of Israel are gathered together on a special occasion to worship God and to celebrate a great event, the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. The ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven is worthy. It's such a great event that it's worthy of a gathering of all of the tribes of Israel for the worship of God. And for us, the ascension of Jesus Christ is a great event too. Worthy of our coming together now in the middle of this week for a special service to worship God and celebrate the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. And it's good that we see the ascension of Jesus Christ from the perspective of Psalm 68 here in this Old Testament celebration, because it is perhaps true that sometimes we do not think of or understand the ascension as all that significant, all that worthy of celebration. Perhaps failing to celebrate on Ascension Day this event in the saving work of Jesus Christ with the same joy and enthusiasm with which we celebrate Christmas and the important incarnation and birth of Jesus Christ, or with the same joy and enthusiasm with which we celebrate Easter and Jesus rising from the dead in victory over death in the grave, or with the same sense of enthusiasm with which we celebrate Good Friday, or we celebrate Jesus making payment for our sins through His death. Well, Psalm 68, in this explanation of a great celebration in the city of Jerusalem, says to us, this event, Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven, demands the worship of God and is worthy of a great assembly, a gathering of the people of God together in joy, celebrating this event. The Old Testament saints see on this occasion, and this is mysterious, this is a wonderful work of God, they see on this occasion a picture of Jesus ascending into heaven, and they treat this occasion like a holiday. They treat this occasion as this event as an occasion when it's appropriate to have a parade, to have a great public celebration, a celebration that is like unto what we might see when a professional team wins a championship, or a celebration like what we might see when nations have been at war with each other and now one nation is victorious, or one side is victorious, and there's a great celebration for the triumph, for the victory that has been gained. But in reality, this celebration is of an event much greater than those events. This was a celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ into the glory of heaven, into the throne room of God. If the people in the Old Testament saw only in a picture the king entering into glory, and saw only in a picture in this his victory and their salvation, how much more shouldn't we, who now look at the ascension as an accomplished fact, celebrate with great joy and enthusiasm? This is fulfilled. We see tonight the King, Jesus, ascended into heaven into glory, and with great victory for His cause. We see this tonight as really the climax of all of history. Here is Jesus Christ, who is at the center of history, who has performed the saving work of suffering and dying for His people, now achieving the glory that God has planned all of history for. Here is Jesus Christ becoming the King of kings and Lord of lords. The one who controls now all things. The one who now rules sovereignly over all things is Jesus Christ through His ascension. There is no more glorious, really, no more praiseworthy event for the church than this, that we can say to Jesus, "Thou hast ascended on high." And so let's consider this text under the theme, Christ ascended on high. We're going to consider in the first place the event. What happened? What happened in the Old Testament, and then what happened in the New Testament in fulfillment of this event. Secondly, we will consider the glory of this, especially for Jesus. And then thirdly, we will consider the benefits. Christ ascended on high. The event itself, the fact of this event, the glory, and then the benefits. The text speaks of an event that took place in the Old Testament, an actual event during the time of the reign of David, through which the Old Testament people of God were able to see a picture of Jesus' ascension into heaven. In this picture, they saw something of the reality of Jesus ascending to the right hand of God. And the people speak of this at the beginning of the text. Thou hast ascended on high. They saw something that made them say this. They saw something that made them say, Thou, and they're speaking to the Lord God, they saw something that made them say to God, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast gone up. People have seen something go up the hill of the city of Jerusalem. The hill of God is the city of Jerusalem. They have seen something go from the bottom of the city of Jerusalem up to the top of the hill so that they say, God, Thou hast ascended. Now there's a problem that or an apparent problem that we might recognize right away. How can the people say that they see God ascending the hill of the city of Jerusalem? God is the invisible God. God is spirit. He cannot be seen with human eyes. How can the people then on this day say that they're seeing something go up the hill of Jerusalem and say to God, Thou hast ascended? And the answer is that in the Old Testament, God gave to the people of Israel a visible symbol of His presence. That was the Ark of the Covenant. When God took the people of Israel out of bondage, out of captivity in the land of Egypt, God gave instructions to Moses to build not only the tabernacle, but to build this Ark of the Covenant. And it was this Ark that symbolized to the people the presence of God with them. And so the Psalm speaks of that when it speaks earlier in the Psalm of the wilderness wanderings of the people. And the people knew that the Lord was before them, knew that the Lord was with them and leading them. And the people knew that by means of that ark that was the symbol of God's presence. And that's what the people saw, the ark of God that had been in the home of Obed-Edom, and that was brought to the city of Jerusalem by David. 2 Samuel 6 speaks of this. And if you read 2 Samuel 6 and you compare it to what we read here about in Psalm 68, you'll recognize that it's with good reason that we interpret Psalm 68 to be when David had the Levites bring the ark to the city of Jerusalem from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill of the city. In 2 Samuel 6, there's a great celebration. David is following the ark as it goes up into the city of Jerusalem, dancing joyfully before the Lord. And that's when all of the people come together. They're excited about this event, the ark going up, and the people are rejoicing. The ark being brought to the city of Jerusalem. So it was the ark, the symbol of God's presence that the people see, that makes them say, "Thou hast ascended on high." And that makes them say here in the psalm, "The Lord God will dwell," or "might dwell," or "will dwell among His people." That was a picture, though. That wasn't the reality. This psalm is a picture pointing to the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might understand that somewhat intuitively, because we know, after all, that the city of Jerusalem in the Old Testament represented heaven. We know that King David was a type and a picture of Jesus Christ, and that the ark pointed to Jesus Christ. And so we might understand almost intuitively that what the people see here is Jesus Christ, their Savior, ascending on high into heaven. But the proof of that, the concrete proof of that, is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Where the Apostle Paul quotes this psalm. And he says in verse 8, "Wherefore he saith in Psalm 68, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." And we know in that context, especially from verses 9 and 10, this is about Jesus Christ. "Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things." Who came down first? Who descended? The Lord Jesus Christ in His incarnation. He who is from all eternity, eternal God, came down, and He also ascended. And so Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Psalm 68, verse 18. God planned this historical event, David's taking the ark to the city of Jerusalem, with this great procession with all of the tribes of Israel gathered together there. God planned this great event and celebration in order to be a picture of the greater event, the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. And so this is an actual event. Just as there was that day in the Old Testament where David caused the ark to be brought into the city of Jerusalem from the house of Obed-Edom, so there was a day 40 days after His resurrection, 43 days after His death on the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. That's what the text is speaking about. We know that Jesus died on Friday and that immediately His soul went to heaven. But that's not the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. No, 3 days after His death, Jesus rose again from the dead. His body and His soul were reunited to each other. And the body that Jesus Christ had after the resurrection was the glorious resurrection body, spiritual body, that it will be ours in the resurrection. And then after appearing to His disciples for 40 days, this is what happened. Jesus Christ went up in, not to Jerusalem, but to heaven. This was a bodily event then, the ascension of Jesus Christ, an event that took place in His human nature, body and soul. We know about that from Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Jesus Christ was with His disciples outside of the city of Jerusalem. And in the sight of the disciples, Jesus began to go up, and they saw Jesus go bodily up into the air. And they saw a cloud take Him. The cloud that this psalm says Jehovah God rides upon as His chariot. So that cloud was a symbol too of God's presence, and that cloud was there not only to cover Jesus from the sight of the disciples, but you could think of it as His chariot that brought Him to the glory of heaven. And while the disciples were looking on, two angels appeared with the glory of heaven to explain to them, this is what has happened. Jesus has left you. He's not coming back. He's not going to have the same kind of fellowship with you, the same kind of interaction with you that He has had before. He has left the earth and He's not going to come again until the end of time. Jesus Christ ascended. What we read of in Acts chapter 1 is almost anticlimactic compared to what we read of here in the psalm. The disciples saw Jesus go up in His human nature and they barely responded. But in the Old Testament, the people of God seem to understand, as they're looking at the ascension, that the one who descended and now is ascending is God. That's what they say here in the passage. Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive, Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. They identify this one who has ascended as not merely a man, but God. But now we must understand what that means. That doesn't mean that the one who ascended is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune God doesn't descend to the earth. He doesn't ascend into heaven. He's omnipresent, present everywhere at all times. But the second person of the Trinity, the Son, He took to Himself a human nature. He descended in his incarnation and birth, and he ascended in his human nature after his death and resurrection. In his human nature, he is a man like us in all things. That human nature isn't like the divine nature. It's not everywhere present. That human nature can't be in two places even at one time. During his ministry on the earth, Jesus Christ was never in two places in his human nature at one time. He was never in Jerusalem and then at the same time in another city. So now, God, who became a man and remains man, he can't be on the earth in his body and in heaven, but in one place, and he has now ascended into heaven and is not anymore on the earth. He's not here. He's no time absent from us because he is God. And the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that in his divine nature, he's always with us. And we're going to see this a little later as we consider the gifts that he gave. He poured out his Holy Spirit upon the church to dwell within the hearts of his people so that he's never completely gone from his people. But he's not here. He's not here as he was during his 3.5 years or so in his ministry on the earth. We can't see him. We cannot speak to him face to face. We can speak to him through prayer, but not face to face, not in the same room bodily. He's in heaven. The disciples in Acts chapter 1, as I said, barely responded. They couldn't see the glory of this for Jesus Christ and his people. When the angels came, the angels asked them, "Why do you stand here basically just staring, gaping into the sky?" It seems that the disciples not only didn't rejoice at the ascension of Jesus Christ, but were probably even sad. So it's good for us tonight to see the ascension of Jesus Christ from this psalm's point of view. Here in this celebration, we see the glory of the ascension for Jesus Christ. Here they see the king going up, the king who is victorious, and the king whose victory is worthy of a grand celebration. So I used the illustrations in the introduction. And here too, what you need to think about is the city of Detroit and the parade and the pomp and the celebration. If the Red Wings have won the Stanley Cup, and the throngs of people who fill the streets of the city, perhaps thousands of people shouting and celebrating because of the victory, the triumph, the accomplishment. Or, I'm not so interested in the celebration of a sports team's championship. Sometimes I think I would have liked to have been there in 1945 or 1946. In the years following the end of World War II. What a great victory. And you read of the celebrations, and maybe you've seen the video of those celebrations too. The conquering of Nazi Germany and the Empire of Japan. The preservation of freedom. And then best of all, the soldiers returning home from overseas. The soldiers that families and the church prayed about, hoping that they would be kept safe. Now the war's over. Now there's no need to worry about their death. Now they come home. Can you imagine being part of the parades and the celebrations that took place in cities across this country and around the world? Well, that barely expresses how wonderful and how glorious the ascension of Jesus Christ is. But the reason that I use those earthly illustrations is because from a certain point of view, the ascension, from an earthly point of view, the ascension doesn't appear to be all that glorious. Isn't it striking that when you compare the celebration of Psalm 68, that celebration is much, much joyful and greater than what actually happened when Jesus ascended. In the Old Testament, it's only the ark that is going up the city, the hill of Jerusalem. And yet, here there are thousands of people, the whole nation of Israel gathered together to celebrate this. When Jesus ascends into heaven, there's 12 apostles. Maybe the rest of the 120 disciples who were gathered together on the day of Pentecost. And when they saw Jesus go up, they didn't even really celebrate. But the saints in Psalm 68 sense the glory of what's taking place here as they see the ark go up. And it seems from the context that they understand that they're seeing something spiritual here. That they are seeing the ark enter or ascend up into not only the earthly city of Jerusalem, but heaven itself. It speaks here in verse 17 of the angels. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. The people in the Old Testament seem to sense that this is not only a celebration on the earth, but this is a celebration in heaven, a celebration among the angels, and a celebration by God Himself. We need to consider the glory of what happened that day by faith. We couldn't see it. If we had been there with the disciples, we wouldn't have seen any more than what they did. And even today, we can't see the reality of what happened in Jesus' ascension. But we see it by faith in the Word of God, especially, and this is almost astounding, especially in Old Testament prophecies. Such as in Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel tells us about the ascension and that this is what happened. The Ancient of Days, the triune God, was sitting on the throne. And then came in the Son of Man. And when he came in to the throne room of God in heaven, Daniel 7 says, there were multitudes. Throngs of saints in their souls and of angels glorifying and praising Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. His glory, He's worthy of glory exactly because He did enter into heaven. Not merely into the city of Jerusalem. Do you understand that? Jesus Christ in His human nature as the Savior of His people the church, entered in human flesh into heaven. That's the place where he is now. And he has ascended into heaven in recognition of what he has done. And that's how you have to understand the ascension of Jesus Christ. I hesitate to do this, but I will do this. We could almost compare the ascension of Jesus Christ to a trophy, an award given to a victor. And when you consider a trophy and ask, what's the value of that trophy? The value of that trophy is not the trophy itself. That trophy itself might not be worth very much. The metal that it's made out of might not be worth very much. But the value of the trophy is the accomplishment that it signifies. So if you win an award for winning a championship, some low level, maybe it's a high school championship, that trophy signifies a great accomplishment. But if it's at a higher level, a college championship, that trophy signifies an even greater accomplishment. Or if it's at the pro level, that trophy signifies an awesome accomplishment. That trophy means, look at what you've done. Look at what you have accomplished. This is what the ascension of Jesus Christ means. It is recognition by the saints and by the angels, but especially by God, of what Jesus Christ has done. And we see that in the text. The people are singing praise. Thou hast ascended on high, because this is what thou hast done. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. We ought to understand this in connection with Ephesians 4. Who hath ascended but he who descended? What has Jesus Christ done in order to deserve this glory? In the ascension, to enter into heaven as King of kings and Lord of lords, he descended because there were captives. Now we know that's picture language in the Old Testament. Here in the psalm earlier, the psalm refers to the bondage, the captivity of Egypt. The people of God in the Old Testament were enslaved by the Egyptians. And we know that's a picture of the spiritual bondage to sin. We're captives, bound by the chains of sin and guilt. Jesus Christ, he descended to set the captives free. He did that according to the will of God. God sent his Son to gain the victory over sin and over evil, and to gain the victory in such a way that the captives would be set free, delivered from their sin and the punishment they deserve. The saints recognize that when Jesus went to heaven in the ascension. They glorified him. They sang praise to him. And they said, Thou art the Lamb, and Thou art worthy, worthy, worthy of all of the glory of heaven that he would receive from God. Worthy to open the book of God's counsel. Worthy to be the King of kings, to rule over all things, executing the counsel of God, to be the Lord of lords. Thou art worthy because he saved captives, delivered rebellious, sinful people, and earned for them gifts. That's why the angels glorify Jesus Christ in heaven. They recognize what He accomplished. What He accomplished in saving sinners in His descending not only to the earth, but to hell on the cross. But then above all, the glory that Jesus received in His ascension was glory from God who recognized His accomplishment. It was God who said when Jesus Christ entered into heaven, God who said, "Well done, thou hast fulfilled my will perfectly. Thou hast saved the people whom I have given thee. Thou hast lost none of them. Thou hast delivered them from their sins, conquered for them death too." And then God said in the resurrection and in the ascension, "This is my Son, and He is the King of all glory. Sit thou at my right hand." As a people who take great pleasure in many frivolous accomplishments and praise people, perhaps for their athletic accomplishments, we ought all the more to praise Jesus Christ in light of the ascension, knowing He died, He rose again, and ascended for our salvation. And then on top of that, finally, we consider this: He gives us benefits. That's what we find in verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." The saints in the Old Testament recognized that they had great spiritual, heavenly benefits from God through their Redeemer. And now we understand even more clearly in light of the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that God has blessed us in heavenly places. The Lord Jesus Christ, now having left the earth and ascended into heaven, He has heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings that He pours on His church and on His people. And we know that the chief benefit is, and this comes in 10 days, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, the Apostle Peter says, "Jesus Christ, now having ascended into heaven, has received the Spirit from God." And Jesus Christ pours out the Spirit, and as the Spirit goes out, filling the church and filling the members of the church, He brings the blessings of salvation from heaven. And we can say, as Ephesians 1 tells us, that when the Spirit comes to us, we have received the earnest of our salvation. That is, we have the whole of salvation and all of the benefits of salvation. Maybe not in perfection yet. That won't happen until we arrive in heaven. But now already, by the Spirit working in us, we know we have all of the salvation that Jesus Christ has earned for us. Completely. We have complete forgiveness of our sins. Not partial. Complete forgiveness of our sins. That's one of the benefits that we receive from Jesus Christ through His ascension. We also receive through Jesus Christ and His ascension and by His Spirit the gift of sanctification. The ability to fight against sin, to crucify our old natures, and to walk in holiness before God. And even though Even though we are not perfectly sanctified, we know that in Jesus Christ, we have in principle perfect sanctification. We have in principle perfect holiness, and that holiness will be revealed in the day that we arrive in heaven with Jesus Christ. The benefit too, of the ascension of Jesus Christ for us is that we know the King who has already gained the victory at the cross, the King who's ruling over all of our enemies and His is Jesus Christ, and that He is sitting enthroned in heaven, making those enemies a footstool for His feet, preparing them for final destruction. The benefit, too, is the gathering, the defending and the preserving of the church. We didn't read the whole of the psalm, but if we had, you'd read about how on this day, this celebration, was a gathering of the tribes of Israel. All of the tribes came together. And that day was the gathering of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. But through the ascension of Jesus Christ and the pouring out of His Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ now gathers together His church from every nation, tribe, and tongue, and He fills His church with benefits, with salvation. Ephesians chapter 4 says Jesus Christ gives gifts to His church. And there, in that chapter, the gift is the gift of preaching, the gift of preachers who preach the gospel for the salvation of the people of God, and the gift of governing, the gift of elders who rule over the church for the sake of the peace and unity of the church. And Jesus Christ gives gifts to all of the members of the congregation. Our existence and all of the spiritual gifts that we have are gifts given to us by the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. And the final gift is victory in heaven. This is really the idea of Psalm 68. There the people were in the city of Jerusalem, the picture of heaven. And there they saw the symbol of the presence of God. And they said, the Lord God might dwell among them. This didn't happen. It wasn't fulfilled in the day of Jesus' ascension. But this is connected to His ascension. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He entered there that He might make the way for His people, that His people might finally be gathered to Him in heaven, and that the Lord God might dwell among His church. That's the reason that we ought to rejoice in the ascension. It guarantees for us that our sins have been paid for through the death of Jesus Christ, and that death has been conquered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that one day our bodies and souls being reunited will be made like Jesus Christ and live with Him in heaven. Or as the psalm says, God will live with us and be our God, and we will be His people forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we bless and we praise Thee as the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits for the sake of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for gathering us here together, for giving us the opportunity to worship Thee and to enjoy the blessings of heaven as we come under the preaching of the Word and we receive the gift of Thy Spirit to build us up in our faith and our hope that one day we will ascend and be with Thee and with the Lord Jesus forever. Hear us for His sake and forgive our sins. Amen.